Let's turn in our Bibles to Mark chapter 6. We're going to be looking throughout the message at verses 30 through 44. It's a very familiar passage if you're familiar with the Bible, the New Testament at all, the feeding of the 5,000. This event takes place as the disciples are returning from a short-term mission trip. Jesus had sent them out two by two and sent them out to heal the sick and cast out demons and proclaim the good news of the kingdom. Apparently, it had been a very successful trip. But the success revealed something else. It revealed the magnitude of the problem, the magnitude of the need. Because see, no matter how much the disciples did, there was always more to be done. At first, there were just, you know, just a handful of people who needed healing, and so they did it, but then the word started getting around, and the more they healed, the more people came. More sick people showed up. The faster and harder they worked, still more people showed up. And at first, this is just exhilarating, you know? You're seeing miracles happen and people's lives changing. But after a little while, it moved from exhilarating to exhausting, and from exhausting to kind of futile. I mean, for every person they healed, it seemed that 100 more would show up. And after a while, the disciples realized that as much healing as they had done, it barely put a dent into the problem. I mean, they could have gone on like this, doing it 24/7 for weeks on end, and all that they would accomplish would pale in comparison to the need. So that's where we pick it up in verse 30. The apostles gathered around Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a deserted place by themselves. So you might normally think that the disciples come back and they're all giddy with their success, right? And they're all, you know, telling Jesus everything that happened. But no, it's clear they come back, they are tired and they are exhausted and maybe even frustrated. And perhaps more than anything, they're overwhelmed by this inexhaustible need that's out there in the countryside. So they withdraw. They go to a quiet place where they could finally get a bite to eat and get away from all the people and all of their needs. But the people won't be denied. So we read on verse 33. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they hurried there on foot from all the towns and arrived ahead of them. As he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. So they go away to this deserted place, and when they get there, the place isn't so deserted. 5,000 men are waiting for them, waiting to be healed, waiting for deliverance, waiting for a word of hope. And that doesn't include the women and the children, who apparently don't count. I mean, literally, they didn't count them, right? Just neglected, ignored, invisible. And Jesus looks at them and he has compassion. He looks at them and he sees sheep without a shepherd. The disciples look at them and they see more work, more exhaustion, more frustration. Verse 35, when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place and the hour is now very late. Send them away so that they may go eat, may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy something for themselves, something to eat. Send them away." I'm sure that's what they wanted to say as soon as they arrived on the shore and saw this multitude of people. Jesus, just send them away. You said this is our time to eat and rest and be by ourselves. Just send them away. But Jesus doesn't send them away. In fact, he begins teaching them. He doesn't give them a 30-minute Sunday school lesson, a little Vesper service or something like that. No, 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 no. Jesus goes on and on and on and on until it gets late. And all the while, the disciples are hungry and trying to stay awake. I mean, they've heard it all before, right? I mean, they've been with Jesus all the time. They've heard his stump speech. They've heard all his stump speeches. They could probably recite every word that Jesus was saying. So finally, they get up the nerve to interrupt him. I'd like to have seen that discussion. Right? Peter, go tell Jesus to send them away. Me? Let John do it. He's Jesus' favorite anyway. All right, fine. We'll all go. Hey, Jesus, sorry to interrupt you, but these people have been here for a long time, and I'm sure they're hungry. Let's just have a closing prayer so they can go and eat. You know what it feels like to be in their position, don't you? I mean, life is hard, and sometimes it takes all you've got just to get through the day, to meet your own needs and the needs of your immediate family, to care for the people that we're responsible for. We know how it feels to be worn out and tapped out and burned out. We know how it feels to have nothing left in the tank. The disciples knew there was a problem. But as far as they were concerned, it wasn't their problem. Not anymore. They'd already done everything they could. Someone needed to do something, but it clearly wasn't them. And that's when Jesus decided to take their very, very bad day and make it even worse. You give them something to eat, he says. You do it. Are you serious? I mean, this isn't what they expected him to say. This wasn't just an unexpected and unreasonable demand. It was impossible. It could not be done. They didn't have enough time. It was late in the day, too late to go off in search of food. And even if they had the time, they didn't have the money. It would take nearly a year's salary to buy all the food that was necessary for all these people. And even if they had the time and the money, it wasn't going to solve anything. I mean, their experience says you feed 5,000 and 15,000 show up the next day. And feed those 15,000 and 115,000 show up the day after that. It just never ends. And for the disciples, I'm sure some of them were saying, well, these people just need to take responsibility for their own lives. Someone needs to teach them there's no such thing as a free lunch. So then Jesus asks them a game-changing question. He says, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. Now, Jesus knows that they don't have much. He was the one who told them when he sent them out on their mission trip, he said, don't take anything. Take nothing for your journey. No bread, no bag, no money in your belts. But Jesus also knew that if they looked, they'd find something. And whatever that something was, it would be enough. Jesus, he sometimes asks the most penetrating questions, doesn't he? How much do you have? He says. What do you have? We tend to focus on what we don't have. Big need. What we don't have to meet that need. We don't have the time. We don't have the money. We don't have the training. We don't have, the gift of mercy. We don't have an outgoing personality. We're like a classroom full of first graders who, when the teacher asks how many of you brought your lunch, raise their hand and then say, not me. See, Jesus isn't interested in what we don't have. All he asked for us is what we do have. He's not asking if you have 40 hours a week to serve people or 20 hours or even 10 hours. He's just asking if you have an evening to invite a neighbor over for dinner who maybe is alone too much, spends too many evenings eating alone. Or an hour to visit someone in the hospital, or just a few minutes to call someone who might be feeling lonely. He's not asking if you've got thousands of dollars to give to the poor and the needy. He's asking if maybe every once in a while you can skip on going out to eat and use that money to help some child across the sea. He's asking if you have enough money to maybe even just pay for the car behind you in the drive-thru. You ever heard about that happening? He's not asking if you've been to seminary or if you have a degree in counseling. He's asking, do you have an ear? Can you just listen to someone? Or can you sit on the floor and play with the child? Or read the Bible to someone in a nursing home? Jesus isn't asking us to give what we don't have. He's simply asking us to look again and see what we do have and then do something good with it. And then he'll take it from there. How many loaves have you? Go and see. And when they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Now, that's barely enough to feed the 12 of them, right? 13 if you count Jesus, and you probably ought to count Jesus, right? But notice something. The disciples thought that they had nothing left to give, but when they looked, they found that there was something. I mean, when they started, they were exhausted, and exhausted means you have nothing left to give. But Jesus asked them to look, to count it up, and so they do, and they find that they haven't given it all. They've still got 5 loaves and 2 fish. And they're about to learn that with Jesus, that's all that's needed. So verse 39, then he ordered them to get all the people to sit down in groups on the green grass. And they sat down in groups of hundreds and of fifties. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the people. And he divided the 2 fish among them. And all ate and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish. And those who had eaten the loaves numbered 5,000 men. Now, it's real easy to think that this story is about the 5,000 men and countless women and children, but it's not. I mean, seriously, these people weren't starving and they still had homes to go to. Most of them probably had some money in their pockets. There was undoubtedly food in the nearby towns and villages where they could go to get some. This really wasn't a life and death situation. Jesus wanted to bless these people. There's no doubt about that. They were peasants, most of them. Their lives were very ordinary, and sometimes they were quite hard. He wanted them to know that they mattered. He wanted them to know that they mattered to him and that they mattered to his heavenly Father. So he decided that he wanted to do something good for them, to give them a taste of God's goodness, a glimpse into the kingdom of heaven. And that's why Jesus asks us to do good, to bless people with acts of kindness and acts of beauty and grace. Jesus wants us to interrupt the normal flow of people's lives and to let them know that they matter to someone. And that there's a better way to live. And when you do something good for someone, especially something unexpected, something maybe even undeserved, you stop them in their tracks. Even if just for a moment. And they have the opportunity to ask themselves, why would someone do such a thing? Who is this person doing such a thing? What motivates them? And in that moment, in that asking, God is able to speak into their lives and draw them a little bit closer. A couple of loaves of bread, a couple of random acts of kindness. That's all God needs to break into someone's life, to let them know that He is there and that He cares. And that's why Jesus blessed people, and that's why He asks us to do the same. But this story really isn't about the multitude. The story is mainly about the disciples. It's about people like you and me who have pledged our lives to Jesus, and we just want to serve Him, but the need is so overwhelming, and no matter how much you do, there's always more to be done. And you're already exhausted just from living life. And all you're able to do is just a little bit. And it doesn't seem like it really counts much in the end. It's just a little bit. And Jesus wants to teach us something. I mean, think about it. Jesus really doesn't need the disciples, right? I mean, he didn't say to himself, you know, I'd love to feed this hungry mob if only I had a few loaves and fishes and some people to help me. No, he's perfectly capable of doing it all himself. Feeding the multitude without the feeble efforts of the disciples. But Jesus did this miracle and asked these 12 guys to help him because he wanted to grow them as disciples. He wanted to soften their hearts so that they would begin to see people as he saw them. He wanted to increase their faith so that they would learn to trust him, even when it seemed unreasonable. He wanted to empower them for ministry, to show them what he could do if they would simply make themselves available to him with what little they might have. So that's what those 12 baskets are about. Each of the disciples got a basket full of food. There's a basket for each of them. A personal reminder that when we bring what we have to Jesus, no matter how little it seems, He can do more with it than anything we could ever ask or imagine. It's like this table. It's a small table. Not too many of us would fit around it for a family meal. Small table, thimble, full of juice, little square of bread, and yet somehow it's enough to nourish our entire soul. Just a little bit is all that's needed. Let's gather around the table and share this meal with each other.